If you're listening to this podcast, I think you'd also be interested in one of my favorites on the Ringer Podcast Network, and that would be Higher Learning. They dissect the biggest topics in Black culture, politics, and sports. And this week, they're talking about Colin Powell. They were talking about John Gruden last week. They really cover everything that is relevant in this moment. You can find Higher Learning on every Tuesday and Friday on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You won't regret it. Check it out. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline.
Michelle, let the journey begin.
Let's go.
Game time!
Oh, Michelle, we're coming, Michelle. We're coming.
Oh, Lordy, Lord.
You've done damn good.
What?
Oh, my God.
Michelle! I'm coming for you, baby!
Oh, my goodness. Deep breath, deep breath.
Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. It's a new season of The Bachelorette. I'm Juliette Littman. I'm here with Callie Curry. Hi, Callie.
Hi.
We're going to be doing this all season long on Tuesdays this season, not Thursdays. Thursdays will be a rotating show. Maybe you'll pop up. Who knows? Michelle. It's Michelle season. She's here. What'd you think?
I am actually excited for this season.
Actually, do you feel like I really needed the week off in between Paradise and Michelle season? And it feels like very soon. But I'm also like, wow, Paradise feels like a long time ago. I don't know. I'm having like a real hard time keeping track of the chronology here in Bachelor Nation.
Yeah, it does feel like it was a long time ago, but I feel like we had stuff shoved down our throats for like 6 months straight that a week off felt like a lot. But also like I kind of like checked out of Bachelors in Paradise like 4 weeks ago.
I know. I know. The end was not good. So understandable.
But last week I was like, oh, weird. Nothing on Monday.
So much time.
Yeah. And I was super excited for the episode tonight, which I haven't felt in a while. So.
And did it just like, what'd you think? Did it disappoint? Did it over deliver? Where are you at?
I'm excited for this season. I love Michelle, but like, it was kind of a boring episode, but I feel like the first episode for sure. Sometimes first two just aren't great because there's so many guys. You can't really like...
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about this before, but I feel like the more you get to know the guys, the better it is. And like you get like 20 seconds of them.
Yeah. There's so little to like go off of. And of course, you spend a lot of time on the Ryans of the world and the Joes. And that's his name, right? The guy who ghosted her?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about that for a second.
Copeland.
I think it's Coleman. Is it Coleman. Joe Copeland? Actually, my colleague, Amelia, she is also from Minnesota, and her sister was in the same kindergarten class as Joe. Yeah, his name is Joe Coleman. And so she was showing us his yearbook from when he was in kindergarten. So that's exciting. He looks exactly the same. He just had more hair, but he looked exactly the same. And she said that her sister had a crush on him. So,
well, he's good looking. So,
well, this is kindergarten. So this is pretty exciting stuff.
I don't remember having a crush on anyone in kindergarten. So her sister was advanced.
I remember the first time I got like a Valentine. I think I was like in second or third grade. It was in the mail. And the boy told me not to tell anyone about it. So
in the mail, like mailbox, like mm-hmm. at your house?
Yeah, like stamped? He mailed to me. Yeah. And he told me not to tell anyone. So harsh. Ouch.
But also like his parents had to have helped him.
Yeah, I'm sure his parents knew. Sure. Yeah. He told me not to tell anyone, so I can't tell you who it is. So anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the Bachelorette.
Do you trust Joe since we're talking about him?
I want to trust Joe. I think it'd be really fucked up to invoke the death of George Floyd and be disingenuous. And
oh God,
so
I didn't think about that.
If he is not being truthful, I think that would be really messed up. But I don't know. I wonder how he ended up on the show. Like, was he already in the pool of people? Like, because how did the producers find the one guy in Minnesota who ghosted Michelle? And also, who ghosts Michelle? I mean, he had his reasons, but
I guess also part of me is like, ghosted is a harsh word. They didn't go on a date.
Right.
They were
just
DMing.
Not responding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, which is fine.
To me, I was like, I don't even know if that would have been a conversation. Like, I would have never brought it up. I would have had it in my mind, you know, like, oh, that did happen. But like, I wouldn't think this is a really serious thing that we need to talk about. Like, don't be
totally.
Like, I don't answer DMs all the time. It's not like offensive. Or I didn't think it was. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm an asshole.
Sure. Or like, sometimes things just peter out and like, there's no explanation or like, you didn't have to respond. So you don't. And then you move on.
They didn't know each other.
Right.
So
they
like,
never met.
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know if he felt the conversation was over. I need more explanation on the ghosting.
I just don't think he handled it very well. He seemed like really nervous. And he didn't really like explain himself particularly well. So maybe he was just, you know, first night jitters. But he didn't inspire a lot of confidence. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, wow, I'm related to him.
No, so. I came back from the conversation. Well, I wasn't in it, but watching it.
It's like you were there.
Yeah. After the conversation, I was like, don't trust him. Seems like he's lying. But I do think afterwards when he walked back in the room with the guys, like his reaction seemed very like, oh, fuck. Like, I did not know that was going to be a conversation. Like, I don't think it was like a planned thing. So then part of me is like, could he have thought about that at the like at spur of the moment, just come up with the bullshit? Like, probably not. That seemed like a really like extensive lie if he was just to make it up.
Yeah. I think also just, you know, things got away from him. I was thinking about the timing. It was last summer. So it was before she was even on that season. It was like in pandemic time, it was a full year ago. So like a year in the pandemic is like 3 years non-pandemic.
Yes. But also that does align with George Floyd. So it's not like the timing was. So I just can't imagine him being able to come up with that on the spot and it be a lie.
Yeah, and it just would be so terrible. I really doubt it. So I hope he was genuine. He did seem nice. He didn't seem like a dick or whatever, and he wasn't like showboating. So I don't know. He just was kind of like unimpressive, but he wasn't bad.
Yeah, he is good looking.
Yes, he is. Well, there's like so much to dig into. Can we just take a step back? Michelle, she looks so hot. She looks
so good.
Yeah,
like
just beautiful.
Stunning, definitely had a glow up. Her arms are like chiseled. I don't even understand how anyone's arms look like that.
Me neither.
I aspire to arms like that, actually. She looks...
I would aspire to it if it was like within the realm of possibility, and it's not, so...
It's probably not for me either, to be honest. I hate arm day. but she looked so good. I will say that like recently, I feel like on opening night, the Bachelorettes have been like less impressive.
Yeah.
Like it's just like their dress choices are like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem great. And tonight I was like, wow, she looks awesome.
Katie wore that horrible red sparkly dress that like didn't really fit well. And I don't remember Claire's. Tayshia did look really good in like a green dress, but
yeah,
that didn't
Tayshia
have the
did
same
look good.
Effect because she came in like halfway through or whatever. But
also
yeah,
like
I mean,
came into like a lobby. Like it was just like, oh, Tayshia, yeah.
She
it
didn't get the same entrance. Michelle, also her dress was like such a statement piece. It was like making noise against the ground, like every time she moved, which I liked. I was like, you could like hear Michelle's presence
coming.
I thought it was a good touch.
Also, the stairwell, I feel like she had to have walked up and down it 100 times, but her walking down the stairwell, I was like, this is a great shot.
Yeah. It draped really nicely for TV. I think was it sequins? Was it metal? I don't know. It looked beautiful.
Bedazzled?
Something like that. It was beautiful. We'll find out who
it reflected
made it.
Light. I know that.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll find out who made it because Carrie Fettman, the stylist, he always posts like who everyone's wearing after
post
the episodes.
Episode.
Yeah. So awesome. Check him out. Check him out on Instagram and we'll find out. I had a question about that dress. Like, what kind of undergarments is she wearing? Like, can you wear underwear with that dress? Can you wear a bra with that dress? Like, or is just like a lot of tape? I mean, I don't know how that dress wouldn't work for me. I definitely have to wear a bra at all times or like have something like sewn in. But I was just like, I was trying to understand how that was working. My guess is like a lot of double-sided tape and like maybe they sewed cups into the dress for her or something. But
yeah,
I was just like confused.
There's no way she was comfortable.
And she was wearing that dress for a long time.
Long time. Yeah. It seemed heavy.
Yeah, it did.
Because like it kept the back of it, like I feel like it kept like drooping one way or the other. I don't know.
Yeah, you could like almost see her butt crack a few times.
Yeah. So definitely no underwear. Definitely no bra. I don't think.
She got to sew stuff in, I guess.
I hope she was
How do you go
cold.
To the bathroom in that dress?
Can you imagine being hot and just sweating and the tape slipping and having to get it redone?
Oh my God. Well, she's in Palm Springs in July, so definitely really hot. At least it's
also
a dry
like
heat.
Even if it's cold, doing a show like this, you're going to be fucking sweating. Like you're nervous. There's just no way.
Nerves, the lights. I was just doing some close-ups of as we were chatting at looking at her dress. It looks like it was actually kind of gold, but I think because of the lights, it always looked silver.
Silver. It definitely looks silver. On TV.
But I can't really tell. We'll have to see as it carries on. But she just looked amazing. And, you know, she clearly worked out, which is like, you know, you should. You're going to be on TV for this. So great job, Michelle.
Question. What university college does she go to?
She went to Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, which apparently is D1. I had no idea. The basketball stuff was so heavy handed. She graduated in 2015, by the way. So I just was like, this is way too much basketball. We get it. She played hoops, but like that doesn't define who she is. I don't even think, I mean, that's great that she played basketball, but.
I actually like wonder why it was so heavy. Like if I were the Bachelorette, I don't think they'd have me like spiking a volleyball every 2 seconds. You know what I mean?
I don't think so either. I think maybe because it's like a sport more associated with men. And it's like, she's so badass. She played basketball. Maybe.
Okay.
That's one of my guesses.
It was just a lot of it.
They kind of played up basketball with Rachel too. Like they like did a basketball date with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Did she even play basketball? Wasn't she a track and field?
Yeah, I believe so. I think she just was like into sports.
Okay.
So I don't know. But she did get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to come on the show. It's pretty
awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, that's cool.
Maybe he can come on Bachelor Party.
I wonder
still watches.
Is he a fan?
Yes, that's one of the reasons why he was on the show with Rachel is he is a fan.
Gosh, it's so like that to me is so intriguing to know who like sits down and watches The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It's a lot of sports people. I think because it's competition based, even though it's not supposed to be, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's like a ton of football crossover and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One of the Zellers is really into it, I believe. I've been pitched him to come on the podcast. I mean,
Seth watches with me.
Yeah, it's like a very popular show. So
I think it's an easy watch.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to pay a ton of attention unless you're doing a podcast about it, at which point you have to take notes. But otherwise it's like, you know, pretty easy. Just kick back, whatever. What did you think about them having Michelle's alleged students on the show?
It was fine. Like,
I never care for that. I'm just like, let's leave the kids out of it.
Yeah. I mean, all of them have to sign waivers,
yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, their parents.
Because they're under 18.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be signing the waiver, that's for sure.
Me neither. My children would not be going on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette to talk about their teacher. I did think it was cool seeing her like teach fractions or whatever, but I was like, is she even a math teacher? I think she's just like, we never really found out.
I don't know what type of teacher she is.
Yeah.
But also it's like, we know she's a teacher.
Yeah, we get it. We didn't really need all that, but whatever.
No, it seems like they're really hitting hard on like a couple of points. Yeah, basketball, teacher, and her family. Had a perfect childhood.
Yeah. I like seeing her parents. They seem like sweet people and she like really cares about them.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do. Also, like being married that long, I don't know very many people that are still married, still happy after that long.
So, yeah. It's an accomplishment.
Yeah, it is.
It also seems really important to her. So that was like interesting in the conversation with Nate, which we'll come back to when he was talking about his mom's divorce and everything.
Yeah.
But Michelle just seems great. I like found this episode a little dull, but like I really like her. So that kept me interested. So it was fine.
I like her. And there are a few guys that I like.
Sure. We'll get into them, but just she did say like two things that I was just like, no, Michelle, that's not it. One of them was that she said she wears her heart on her shoulder, which that's not it, but that's okay. And the other was when she was talking to Ryan, she was like, I'm going to listen to my red flags. And then she proceeded to get rid of him. It was the last time I checked, red flags don't speak, but perhaps I'm wrong. First night jitters. It's okay, Michelle. We still love you.
Yeah, you could tell that she was like a little nervous. She was like I don't know. It's not even talking. Like every time someone stepped out of the limo, I felt like she had to do something or say something like, and I was just like, you can't do that to everyone. Everyone doesn't like make that noise. In fact, the guy she did it to, I was like, I mean,
who did she do it to?
I don't remember his name. That's how like not ow he was.
So hard to keep track of these guys. There was no one who I was like, wow, they're really hot.
Was there anyone that did it for me? Don't think so. I liked some of the personality more than the looks.
Yeah, but no one was like, holy crap, they're hot. Although in general, I would say I need personality to be really attracted to someone.
Oh, personality outweighs looks any day of the week for me. Yeah. Like it's not close. Also, in general, I find guys that are super hot are usually like corny and lack personality because they don't need it.
It's true. They don't have to try that hard because they're just really good looking.
Like Thomas, so attractive. Do I think his personality is amazing? Not really. It's not bad, but amazing.
He is really corny. Also, in case you're wondering, took you about 15 minutes to reference Thomas. So there we go. Are you following Thomas and Becca, by the way? They're like really out here at their relationship.
I'm not following them. Because I feel weird about following people on Instagram for some reason.
I just feel like in general, like reading about them
on
whatnot.
TikTok. They're all over TikTok.
Yeah, they're like moving in together. They're like hot and heavy very quickly. I hope it works out.
They seem serious, but they also seem like, I mean, minus his breakdown on Paradise, like they seem like generally like level-headed people.
I think he seems like a real girlfriend guy. Like he just seems like a serial dater, in my opinion.
Well, hopefully he's like, I really want to like just settle down and start a family.
Yeah. And I think also like some serial daters like therefore find marriage more quickly because they're just sort of like open to it or whatever. So that's fine. But that's kind of he's a real girlfriend guy. Wife guy.
I can see that.
What's that from? Wife guy. I don't know. Anyway, back to the show. We'll get into the guys, but I just want to say like this is a controversial opinion and it really shouldn't be. I think everyone's murmuring about it. I think the show is aware. Caitlin and Tayshia, not good hosts, not excited to have them back. Nothing about them as individuals. That's for another time. But like, I just do not enjoy them as hosts. Like Tayshia's so scripted. I just feel like Caitlin is hard to watch and I was not thrilled to have them back. And like when they went into the guys' rooms, I just was like, this is like such a waste of time.
Multiple things here. One, Caitlin in general, I like her personality. Like overall, I like her personality. Do I think she's a good host in this role? No, she might even be better by herself.
I think on her podcast, she's pretty good. So I think she is better by herself.
Yeah. Like the interactions with Tayshia, I'm just like, do you guys even like each other? It just seems like so like forced. The whole thing seems forced. This is definitely not what Tayshia is supposed to do in life. That's for sure.
Definitely not.
I really don't like them as hosts. Maybe individually I'd feel differently, but together they're not great. They weren't great last time. So I'm just like, they didn't bother me. It was kind of just like whatever last time, but definitely not good. Not David Spade vibes. Like, I don't know how he wasn't asked to do this. but they also showed them a lot in the first episode. Like, I don't need your reaction to the guys. You guys are both like engaged. Why? Who cares what you think?
Also,
I guess like they're experts because they're engaged, but what do they know? I don't know. I feel like I would trust Michelle over the two of them already. Like, I just don't trust their judgment.
But I also feel like the show's kind of setting them up for failure. Like, we didn't see Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
Who's Chris Hansen?
I believe he's from To Catch a Predator.
Okay. Well, Chris Harrison, like they didn't even, like, flash.
Yes, he's also been on Dateline.
By the way, she used to love that show.
It was really popular.
Very problematic. I'm glad they got rid of it. Oh my God.
Absolutely. I could see it having like a Netflix revival similar to like Unsolved Mysteries, though. Anyway, carry on.
So not Chris Hansen. Chris Harrison, they didn't like flash to him when like girls were coming in like, oh, she's hot. Like that just didn't happen. So like, why are we doing it? The show's also setting them up for failure.
It's just like making them seem like her like giggle squad and just sort of like a really boring cliche of like what like girlfriends, I'm doing air quotes right now, are supposed to be. And like, it would just be a lot more realistic if they were like, did like a F-Boy Island kind of thing where they're like, okay, who'd you like? And then someone whips out a phone and they go through his Instagram. Like that's missing.
More realistic. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was just like thinking about the opposite too. Like if it were The Bachelor and they had a random guy doing it, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't flash the guy and the guy be like, oh, she's hot, huh? Like they wouldn't do it. So I'm just like, I don't like how they're, I don't know. The whole
Real
thing.
Housewives of Salt Lake attempted that last week when they had the husbands hang out together and they ended up talking about sex. Yeah. And it was so staged and so cringeworthy. And I was just like, everyone awkward. Here has to just hate this. So if they don't.
Also like talking about sex with your wife is like just weird. You know, it's different if it's just like a girl you're having sex with, but with your wife, it's like a lot.
Yeah. The whole thing was just that I just felt like that would never happen. And it was weird. And you're totally right. It's a real double standard. If they had like Jason Tardik and Zach Clark being like, wow, he's so hot, or wow, she's a smoke show, everyone would be offended.
By the way, let's retire that. Smoke show, never need to hear it again.
Did you feel that way already, or is it just because of The Bachelorette?
Who says that? I've heard it like, cause you know what it is, but like people don't say that in real life, or at least not to me. Maybe I'm not one.
I feel
Maybe
like I've heard it. No one's ever called me a smoke show to my face that I'm aware of either, but I would say I have heard people use it, but like not in several years. It's out of date.
I feel like maybe like 10 years older than me, people said it.
Sure. 10 years ago, 10 years older than you and 10 years ago.
Yeah. So. Like, yeah. No one was saying that when I was 21.
Sure. Me either. Anyway.
Yeah. So especially since like, it's been like a thing the last two seasons, when he said it, I was like, you clearly didn't watch the shows.
I know.
The other thing, them going through their stuff, I was like, that's like violation of privacy here.
It reminded me of Room Raiders on MTV. Remember that?
Yes.
With the black light.
Yes, yes, yes. Also a great show.
Yeah. MTV had some real hits back in the day.
But like, it's just obviously, obviously it wasn't like real privacy evasion. Like I'm sure it was like semi-staged, but just like a really weird thing to be like, yeah, we get to go through your stuff. Like, no, you don't.
Also, what do they think they're going to find? I mean, aside from Ryan's notes, which we'll come back to, like, what could you possibly find that would be like noteworthy? Like, I can't think of anything that aside from like a weapon, but I assume they screen for that and you can't get on the plane.
A weapon, maybe like pills,
like drugs. Sure.
Yeah. Dirty underwear, like really dirty, like really dirty.
Okay. That would be gross. Sure. But like, I don't know. That would just be so weird.
Also, like, how long have they been there for? Like, if they just got there like 2 days ago, I hope their room isn't like a complete disaster. You're like, you're not really getting to know someone based off how they live in their hotel room for 2 days.
Right. They probably had to quarantine for a few days, even though everyone could have been vaccinated by that point because it was like late July. But I assume they still had people quarantine. So probably like 5+ days. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Also, in case you're wondering, they were at this resort in Indian Wells, which is, you know, where they have the Indian Wells tennis tournament. And it's also in Palm Springs, but not the La Quinta. But they didn't really like play up where they were, where I feel like for both Matt's season and Tayshia, they like constantly were like showing the signage.
Wait, no, and
Katie.
No. What's her name? Claire.
Claire. Yeah. Claire, Tayshia, Katie, yeah. and Matt. Like, we're very aware of where they were.
Yeah.
And this they tried to like make it seem more generic. I thought it looked really nice though. It looked more like Nemecolon where Matt was than where Katie, Tayshia, and Caitlin were.
I mean, yeah, that was awful.
I've never been to the Quinta.
I feel like they got the memo, like, we need to step it up a little bit.
I think that the staff also hated being in New Mexico, so that's one of the reasons why they went back to Palm Springs. Yeah, which I personally hate, but I do think it's probably a good place to shoot. I just think it's really boring there. There's nothing to do. Not a pool person, as you know, so there's nothing for me there.
Yeah, I like Palm Springs. Nothing against Palm Springs.
Pool and golf and, I guess, shopping, but whatever.
Tennis.
Yeah, tennis is good. I like tennis.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, I guess we can talk about the guys now.
Let's go. Who is your favorite? Let's start with that.
It's just like, I'm either getting old or cynical, which I've always been, but even worse.
Aren't these guys our age?
They're a little bit younger.
But I feel like not that much younger.
I think just like as a human, I'm just like getting, I don't know. Who's my favorite? I don't really have one.
As a human, as opposed to other humans that don't get older.
I just mean it's not relative to their ages. Just like I'm just living life. Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to think who's my favorite. You know, despite all odds, against all odds, I kind of liked Chris G, who I mercilessly attacked for wearing the hoodie underneath his blazer. But then I kind of liked him, even though but then I was back out. I was like a motivational speaker. I just can't. He started talking to her like he was one.
By the way, have nothing against the hoodie and blazer. Won't ever criticize it again. apparently I own one and so does my husband. So all good. No criticism here.
I guess I liked Leroy and I liked Illumine. I think that's kind of it. Can I tell you who I did not like?
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to have overlap on do not like.
I did not like Jamie. I found him really annoying. First of all, he says he's 32. I feel like he's lying about his age. He looked older, much older than that to me. And also he just was like, it's our show. They're just here. I just found him really over the top and like fake. And
he was over the top for sure.
And I didn't care for it. Who's your favorite?
Okay. So
wow.
I liked both firefighters.
Okay.
Which I don't know their names off the top of my head.
One was PJ.
Okay. And then what's his name? Oh, okay. So I liked Rick.
Oh yeah. I liked Rick too.
And then they like kept giving him interviews and I was like, stop. I liked him. And then like with each interview, I was like, ugh. But so, like outside the interview, when he was actually with her, I liked him a lot.
Rick was the guy on the plate. Yes. For those of you who are wondering, I was really surprised when she was like, good chemistry with Rick. I was like, really? With the guy on the plate? You had good chemistry? Because I just feel like it would be hard to get past that. But maybe on the other hand, it was a real icebreaker. So she was able to be like, yeah, cool. I like this guy.
Yeah, I got past it. Then Ryan, I was like, oh, not going to like him at all. Then on the date, I was like, oh, I like him. Then I was like, don't like him. I knew I didn't like him. Like, I feel like I was on a roller coaster with Ryan.
Yeah.
But my gut was correct.
So let's just talk about Ryan for a second. He's the guy who brought the notes and Caitlin and Tayshia found them. First of all,
it wasn't like note, like a few note cards of notes. It was like pages a fucking and pages. Binder.
Yeah. Which like, did he actually read that? I can't imagine reading all of it. Like, unless maybe you're really bored and you're not allowed to watch TV and you're just like in quarantine. So you end up reading the notes, but it was like very, very long. It was multiple pages. Michelle needed time alone to digest all of it. So
I saw like, it was like sprawled out all over the bed.
Yeah.
He had like headshots of all the guys.
They probably gave that to him when they arrived, is my guess. Because I've been to night one. A lot
of information.
I've been to night one before, although I guess the pictures were on Facebook, but I've been to night one before and they hand out like a headshot sheet. Like everyone's face is on one page. So they might have given that to the guys too.
So I don't know. It's a lot.
He misspelled Bachelorette on the folder. I don't know if you caught that.
I didn't catch that at all. I was trying to read because he had two folders.
Yeah.
And one I couldn't read what the other one said.
And he like left out an E. So that's a demerit for Ryan.
Yeah.
Do you think that they should have told her right away? Or like, obviously I understand why they did not tell her right away for the purpose of TV, but like, it's kind of weird to like make him the ice cream guy and like go through all of the effort of like getting him the ice cream truck. It's not like he chose that completely on his own. He didn't like bring in his own ice cream truck. So it's sort of like they decided consciously to make Ryan like the plot point of episode one.
Yeah. They wanted to create drama.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
They didn't wait that long.
No, they didn't wait that long. But also if we're assuming that she gets to make her own choices, right? Like mm-hmm. they didn't know if she could get over it or not.
I think she does get to make her own choices. I think there's certain times they like, you know, like you can keep this person if you do this or whatever. But, or you can get, you know, you, whatever, but I think she does ultimately get to choose. Like, I don't think they force anyone on her.
Yeah. So I, you know, she could have chosen to keep him. So I don't think they knew she was going to eliminate him, but I'm glad she did. The notes were cringe.
Just were like really a lot. Also, it was like, be like Jason Tardik.
The notes about himself. I'm like, did you write those?
It's a good point.
They were like really harsh notes about himself.
I did believe that was from his sister-in-law at that point where I was like, she's really trying to help you. Here's what she really thinks about you.
He admitted that she wrote some and he wrote some, which also mm-hmm. I'm like, which ones did you write? Like yeah. It was a lot.
And then he was like, I've only seen 2 hours of the show before, but then he made it seem like he'd seen a lot more. Like when he's just like kicking it at home, he's working on his notes and has the Bachelor on in the background.
Yeah. And then he was also like, saying like, yeah, when I would watch the episodes, I would write down, oh, she likes ice cream. Oh, she likes this. And I'm like, so you watched episodes?
Watch the show. Yeah.
So that's more than 2 hours of the show total.
He seemed
so
to know.
There was a lot of inconsistencies.
Even though I like Michelle a lot and I thought she seemed like we didn't get the full picture from Matt's season, I don't know a lot about her. And I was like, how does he even know she likes ice cream? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And we didn't get a lot from her from Matt's season. So I'm like, you couldn't have gotten this much information from watching just that. You were
Did you stalk her?
Digging. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Also, like, it was weird. They mentioned Ben Higgins. Like, I was like, what is happening in these notes? Also, his sister-in-law... Those are extensive fucking notes.
I know. Does she have a job? If not, maybe
should we have her on the show?
I know. How do we get Ryan's sister-in-law? Yeah, it's a great point. We need her to come on.
Yeah, no, that was a lot. Would you have been able to keep him? I think I for sure would have been like, bye.
I think I would have been like, bye too. If you got a whole plethora of men, why? Also, he was so nervous. He didn't handle it well. That's the other thing is like, there's plenty of ways to handle a lot of this stuff. And he just,
also when she was
he started
going
panicking.
When she was going through his notes, like his hand movements, like it seemed like he was like trying to take stuff so that she wouldn't see stuff. No, he gotta go.
I believe also when she first confronted him on the topic of hands, he like grabbed her hand and she was trying to pull away and it was so awkward.
So cringe. I will say that through his notes, like he was trying to get screen time achieved.
Yeah.
We know who you are.
Good work, Ryan. We'll never forget you. Out night one, we'll never forget you. The ice cream truck man. So he did it. Good for him, I guess.
He accomplished his goal.
Let's talk about Nate. Did you like Nate?
Loved Nate.
Nate got the first impression rose. I like Nate too. He seems like objectively the best guy. Also, I thought he pulled off his earrings well. And I'm not really an earrings person, but
And nose ring, right?
Yeah. It reminded me of JD from Survivor with the earrings.
Oh. I don't know if JD pulled him off, but yes.
I thought he did, but in his like own goofy way.
Gosh, since, you know, I have not spoken about Survivor at all, I just want to say, JD, I will miss you so much.
Me too.
It's all I need to say about that.
Money. we'll find some time to talk about JD soon. Anyway, I thought Nate pulled it off well. He seems really genuine and sweet.
Oh, I thought he was so cute. Like,
yeah.
Nothing seemed rehearsed.
Like, he seemed excited to be there.
Seemed genuinely nervous, which I thought was like, it was endearing to me. Like, I could tell he was like struggling, but in a good way. Like, even him being like, sorry, I'm going on a tangent. Like, I was just like, keep talking. You're doing good. I really liked Nate.
Also, he's 6'8".
He seemed huge.
I didn't get that, actually. I didn't get the 6'8" vibes, but I'm into it.
What? He seemed... So I, in my like notes from watching the show, I wrote, where the fuck were the title cards? There were so many times where I was like, oh, what's this guy's name? And like, it wouldn't flash up. And then it'd flash up for a second after I was done trying to figure out his name. And then it would go back to him and I'd be like, what is his name? I feel like usually they shove the title cards down your throat, especially
it's never enough.
And I feel like they were lacking significantly this episode.
I completely agree. Like for episode 1 and 2, there should just be a title card
every time.
Every time. Just assume we don't know who anyone is because we don't. So
title card. And there's like 50 fucking guys. Like, how am I supposed to? I wrote down his name is Nick in my notes. I didn't know it was Nate till we started filming this.
Also, when we did the bios, I like bagged on him for having a Y in his name, but it turns out that Nate is a nickname for a much longer name. So I retract, you know, like,
oh, I didn't know that.
I totally, well, when he introduced himself, he said his full name and then he was like, but I go by Nate or whatever. So
I have so many adjectives for people because I couldn't figure out what their names were.
Like
so
what?
For Nate, I have tall, light skin, long neck, like him.
The neck really gets you. I feel like you really can tell. You are really keyed into people's heights based on their necks.
Neck? Yeah. I have a pretty long neck. So whenever I wear like a turtleneck or something, like I'm always like, there's never a long enough turtleneck for my neck.
Do you wear a lot of turtlenecks?
No, I don't. But that's part of the reason why I don't. I recently did like a photo shoot in a semi-turtleneck and it just like brought back all of these feelings about turtlenecks. So wow, yes,
okay. He does have a long topic.
Neck though. Does he not?
Yeah, long he neck. Does. He does. Yeah. And he seemed like a really sweet guy. I thought it was interesting that he was like, I don't want to lead with family because I don't have a happy story. And I thought that was like sad. I thought it was sad. Yeah. I felt for him, but it was nice that she like, you know, wanted him to open up and she seems really thoughtful. Also, one thing I like about her is she seems to be attracted to people who have not necessarily had like a super easy life. Like she's interested in challenges. And I think that speaks really well of her.
Yeah. I also thought like him saying it and it wasn't one of those things where like, I'm saying it just so you asked me about it. I felt like he really didn't want to. And then she was like, well, I want you to. And he was like, fuck, like I just told you, I don't want to fucking go into it. And you could tell he was like getting semi-emotional by just saying like that one little thing about his family. Like,
yeah.
Truly don't think he wanted to go into it.
Yeah, I agree. But like wanted to acknowledge it. I guess it was like weighing on him and everything. So I don't know. It was very sweet. Right before he like was revealed to be a Bachelor contestant, apparently his Instagram bio said that he bought half his followers. So he was like when he was 17. So he's like honest about it, I guess.
Oh, I like that.
I do too. I thought that was funny.
I will say that in like the previews for the show, there's some like weird shit around him. And I'm like, the previews for the whole season, the little thing at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm like, interested to see like what happens with him.
Like if he's genuine or not.
It seemed like they kept talking about like, did she know him before the show? And I couldn't figure out who they were talking about. And I thought it was him, but maybe it was Joe. I don't know.
I think they purposely made that ambiguous.
Yeah.
So it could be Joe, but it might be someone else. I bet it's someone else because it's like a red herring. You're supposed to like assume. I don't know. I'm just like looking at his Instagram while we speak and he reads a lot, which I find very appealing. He shows himself with a lot of different books.
They also said he was an actor or something.
I think he said, yeah, they called him an actor, but like, yeah. He lives in Austin. How much acting can he be doing? It's not like
not a, much.
A hub for acting.
No.
I don't know.
Actually, what is his job? A sales executive.
Who knows what that means? I mean, could be anything. There's
a few questionable titles. Speaking of questionable titles, one of my least favorites was the Pizzapreneur.
Oh, yeah. I hate that. I mean, it's just like so stupid.
He was just like a lot in episode one, but I don't know if he was like overcompensating, trying to get attention for the first episode, but it was a lot to handle. It was a lot to take in.
He was the one with the cannolis, right?
Yeah.
They had so many cannolis. Like, I don't know why they had so many. There was like 30. Also, I don't think it's that weird she's never had one. I've had cannolis, but they're not that common.
I think it's kind of weird she hasn't ever like had a bite of one.
They're delicious.
Also, not for me.
Okay.
But they're fine. But he also said that he made them. And I'm like, no, you didn't. And then she asked, what's in them? And he said, deliciousness. And I was like, do you even know? It didn't seem like he knew the answer.
He doesn't, because he didn't actually make them.
Yeah. So
let's talk about Clayton for a second. And I think we just need to establish that it's out there. We all know it. I mean, just like, you know, dramatic pause, skip ahead if you don't want to hear what could be a spoiler. But Clayton is the next Bachelor. So
yeah.
Clayton does not win. Clayton is currently filming his season. They started out in the mansion. It's like back to normal. Jesse Palmer's the new host, etc. How did you feel about watching Clayton knowing he's the Bachelor?
I thought they were going to show way more of him than they did. Mm-hmm. Like they flashed to him a little bit, but we didn't get like a ton of Clayton content. I'm sure that's to come because they have to like set it up.
Yeah.
But overall, good. Was it his mom on it, right?
Yeah, she's a special education teacher.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
He's from Missouri. He says he likes a slower pace of life. I kind of liked Mizzou. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just sort of was
which
like.
Which is in the SEC, by the way.
Why did I think it was in the Big 12?
It wasn't something else besides the SEC because it got added like my senior year, I want to say. Yeah.
I think it was the Big 12, but whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyway, yes, it's in the SEC now. it means more.
I have nothing negative to say. He's cute.
He seems fine, but like, yeah, I'm fine with him. He's big. He's like a bulky dude.
You could tell he played football.
Yeah, for sure. He
thick neck.
He reminds me of like a JJ Watt type of like human.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a compliment. I don't know. He's clearly a football player. I'll just say like, I kind of like knowing which of these guys is the next Bachelor because I don't need to like be worrying about guessing. I'm just like, okay, cool. Let's get to know him and we'll see him for Bachelor. Like, that's cool by me. I have no problem with it.
I'm not mad at it.
Me neither. I was like, this is fine. And
I don't feel like I really like need to get to know them. Or and like not get to know them. I'm happy to get to know them. I'm just like not going to be invested in him and Michelle's relationship.
Right.
So it's like, there's 30 other guys.
Clayton does seem sweet. I wonder how far he'll go. Like, does he make Final Four? Does he make top six? I think he's got to make at least top six.
I really hope he doesn't make Final Four. That's a little too far for me to know.
I know. It would be like kind of a waste of time.
Yeah. I feel like eight is a good place for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, Clayton, we'll see you in the future and for all of the winter, because this is the beginning of 6 months of Bachelor content, Bachelorette straight into Bachelor. So I hope everyone's ready. Buckle up. Yes.
One more random note.
Sure.
I have written down, clearly don't know shit about apples.
Oh my God.
When she started naming the apples, I was like, never heard of any of these apples other than Honeycrisp and Granny Smith. And I didn't even put two and two together that Granny Smith was green.
I thought that was funny. That was Rodney, right? He's the apple.
That's
man.
The other. Isn't he the other firefighter? Yeah. No, he's not.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so no,
Rodney
I'm
is the sales rep from Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah.
Rodney is so much cuter on the show than he looks in his photo. It's like astonishing to me. It's like very strange. I barely recognized it from his photo.
Agree. I think that's why I thought he was the other firefighter because I'm looking at his photo and I was like, that's not him.
We'll figure it out by the end of this podcast, I promise.
I will say I overlapped with you. On one guy, and that was Leroy Holiday. Really liked him.
Right. The fourth Holiday brother.
Yeah, I was into him.
Yeah, he didn't get a ton of screen time, but I was really glad when she picked him. He really looks so much like a Holiday. It's crazy.
It's like live too. I was like, this guy has to be related somehow.
I know. Like, can we do like a 23andMe and see where they share family or something? It's so crazy.
Also, he was really cute. Like, he looked great. Yeah. It was good debut for him.
I liked him too. He seems sweet. He's a biomedical PhD student. I mean, that's pretty dope. I'm into it. I had high hopes for Romeo, the 32-year-old mathematician from New York City, and he disappointed. He was super cheesy.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
That was too bad. And I felt like he was like a little too into himself. I don't see him going far.
He just like gave me like weird vibes.
Mm-hmm. The one person I started following preseason was Pardeep.
Pardeep.
Yes, who got like no time, but I just liked the fact that he like lived in Brooklyn and also was like a scientist as well. And I thought he seemed okay, but I found it annoying when he was like, when she was like, well, Pardeep, will you accept this rose? And his answer was, yes, now and always. It's just like, calm down. You just said, maybe it's not always. What do we need to jump ahead so far?
Yeah, that was a lot. So, you know, since we're talking about the roses,
yes.
I feel like the people that got eliminated, I was like, don't know ya, never knew ya. Like,
I have no, this is what I wrote down.
That I was like, I remember him.
This is what I wrote down. No sleeves, long hair, high hair. I was like, those are the three guys who got voted off. I have no idea who they are.
Speaking of hair. Yes. It seemed like a lot of the white guys had the same style of hair.
Maybe it's why it was hard to tell them apart. I think the one with the long hair was Edward, the wellness coach from LA. High hair was Garrett, the tech CEO from Salt Lake. We'll see him on Bravo. And no sleeves, I believe, was Joe Mari, the personal trainer from Fresno. But was it really only four guys who got sent home? Probably was more. We just didn't see it on TV.
Because we didn't know who they were.
Yeah, because they were never on the show. So it's just like, okay.
I was so confused. I was like, who are these people that just went home?
That's when they really need to have the nameplates on screen, is when they're getting sent home so we can keep track.
Yeah, but like even looking at this like grid of people, there's a few that I was like, I'm like.
Yeah, like Brian and Brandon. I don't think we saw Brandon. If we did, I can't remember him. And Brian, I like was on for like 3 seconds. What'd you say?
Brandon K.
Yeah.
Do you see how their hairstyles are the same though?
Yeah, totally. And then Chris G and Brian, if I wasn't watching really closely, I might think was the same person. And then Casey looks like Dax Shepard to me in like a weird way in his photo. Casey was on the show. I wasn't into him.
Wait, Casey looks like Dax Shepard? Oh, yeah. Dax Shepard. He does.
Not Dak Prescott.
That's who I was thinking of. I was like, don't see it.
Yes. You know, who's clearly an asshole, but I kind of liked. Oh, the other firefighter is Daniel. I found him.
Oh, yep. I liked him too.
I kind of liked Chris S, and that was because he was getting his eyebrows waxed. And I was like, cool, grooming is good. Take care of that stuff. Okay. Fair enough.
It wouldn't be like he was also one that like dove into the ocean with floaties.
I thought that was kind of funny. You're just like the ocean, Callie.
That's true. That might have been it.
It's a losing battle for you.
I think it's a combination between that and also like my first thought was like, wow, your arms must be really skinny because where the fuck did you find floaties where your arms would fit in?
I didn't think about that, but good point. That's a real commentary we need from a mother like you. One thing I wanted to touch on, because I feel like Michelle touched on it and you know, it's just a part of the show, is race. And I felt like one of the things I liked about Nate and Michelle was they were both like, yeah, we're both biracial. And they were like, that's like a point for them to bond over without it being like forced onto the show like it was in that season. I was curious what you thought.
I feel like it seemed much more organic than in the past, which means that maybe the Bachelor franchise is just like slowly moving into normalcy because it's been so weird in the past couple of like seasons where they've had black leads. Like I feel like Rachel was forced to talk about it. Tayshia was forced to talk about it. Matt was forced to talk about it. Like it's just been like so, it's been such a correction for the the 40 years before. I don't know how many years, but however many years before.
20 years, like 38 seasons, I believe.
Yeah. So it seemed like this episode, it seemed like they just like happened to bring it up because it is like a part of their lives. It wasn't like someone forcing them to have like, and the conversation wasn't long. Like it was just like a, this is what it is. And I'm like, that's how a normal conversation would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And also when she was like, I'm a woman of color. My students are right near, or, you know, in Minneapolis. Yeah. Like if anyone was going to understand, it would have been me. Like it just sort of was like part of the conversation because it's part of her life and their lives. But I guess this is like such a low bar, but I was just like relieved. I was like, thank God they found a normal way to have these conversations without like doing like the kind of 1990s sitcom, very special episode.
Yeah. Also, even that could have been like, a cringeworthy conversation that could have made it into something that it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine. So maybe things are moving in the right direction.
Maybe. And kudos to Michelle, you know, because she's the one who like didn't seem to shy away from any of these conversations. And she also like really flawlessly went back and forth between like serious and like playful, which was like a joy to watch too. I mean, she's great.
Yeah. Also, who knows? Like, if she shut anything down, like if they tried to make it more out of something and she was like, no, this is what we're doing. Let's move on. Like, who knows?
Yeah. So. And like getting rid of Ryan, like allowed it to not be a season long plot line, which even if I kind of didn't hate him, I appreciate it because it would have been boring.
Yeah. He needed to go.
Who do you think are some other contenders aside from just like who we personally like? I mean, I think Nate, the Bachelorette has a history of the first impression rose winner going far. Many of Bachelorettes have chosen their dudes on night one. So gotta assume he's going far. I think Joe will go far. The
Me
guy
too.
She knows. I feel like people will like, sometimes in this type of environment, I feel like you gravitate towards something, you know, even more because everything else is like so chaotic.
I feel like Rodney goes far.
Apple guy?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
He wasn't one of my favorites, but I think he's going to go far.
She didn't seem like she had like a ton of vibes with a lot of people.
The only like vibes I was like, ooh, was Nate and Rick.
Yeah. I forgot. Rick probably goes far too. Rick on a plate. Yeah. When I was in high school, I once went to California Pizza Kitchen with my three friends. Ooh. And they used to have great hummus. I took it off the menu. It's fucking nuts. Anyway,
I hate when that happens.
Me too. It's bullshit. Anyway, we went to CPK, the one on 60th and 3rd, and it was like in 10th grade. And my friend Talia, just for some reason, we took all these pictures of her like bending down in the booth with like her head like on a plate. And we just kept referring to these photos for the next 20 years as Talia on a plate. And so when Rick was doing this, all I could think of was my friend at CPK who did like a photo shoot 20 years ago. And so he'll be forever known as Rick on a plate to me.
I like truly don't understand.
I'm gonna have to dig up this Talia on a plate photo if Talia allows, and I'll post it on Instagram.
Well, yeah, I can confidently say I've never done that before.
You've never held a plate up to your chin, like taking a photo.
Never.
I don't know why we did it.
I've never taken a photo of someone doing that.
I don't know why we did it, Callie. Weird things happened at CPK when I was in high school. Okay.
Also, like, everyone was like, oh, that was creative. And I was just like, well, it's just kind of weird.
It was super weird. I don't even know how like they started doing that. I don't know. Like, who thought of that and why? It was really
funny.
Do
the guys come up with it or is it producers?
What I've heard is that people who they think might not have a great like presence at the beginning, they encourage them to have a prop or whatever. And then I think like depending on like who's down for it, they collab on these gimmicks or whatever. So it's a joint effort between the guys and the producers. I mean, clearly they can't like arrange this themselves. Although I bet some of them do pitch it, be like, hey, I have a great idea for an entrance. Can you help me or whatever? Like I could definitely see Ryan being like, let's do this ice cream thing.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't his entrance though, right? That was like his like date.
Yeah. Didn't he come in on the truck? Oh no, it was there at the outside. Someone came in on the school bus. That's what
Wait,
it was.
Which also, I found it odd when Tayshia was like, what is that? And Caitlin was like, it's an ice cream truck. Like, obviously. And then I remembered that Tayshia's from
Newport.
Like, yeah. So I'm like, probably wasn't a lot of ice cream trucks where she's from. But her, like, what in the world is that? And Caitlin was like very dry, like, it's a fucking ice cream truck. What are you talking about?
Tayshia clearly, based on her bagel situation when she was putting literal blueberries on top of a bagel and saying she loved blueberry bagels, she clearly is not familiar with many of my Julia Littman's favorite foods being bagels and soft serve from an ice cream truck. So I can't, we're from different worlds, literally. Mr. Softy is like a hallmark of my life. I love it so dearly. And she just has no idea, whatever.
Soft serve is so good.
Oh my God. I love it. Mr. Softy is way, shit.
It is, but Chick-fil-A soft serve is like, next level.
McDonald's soft serve is really good too. I love a McFlurry. Love.
Wait, have you had Chick-fil-A's?
No.
By the way, I feel like people really enjoy our food talk. So I know we're going on a tangent, but I love McDonald's soft serve. I had a sundae the other day. I've been on a McFlurry spree.
I love McFlurry's. Switched it up
with just their chocolate sundae from McDonald's. It was awesome. Their chocolate sauce is like really fucking good at McDonald's. But Chick-fil-A soft serve is like,
I gotta try it.
It's the best. It's the best I've ever had.
Chick-fil-A is not a huge part of my life because I'm a northerner and it's like only recently came to New York. And I
thought it was going to be for political reasons.
Well, there's that as well. I do like when I don't want to say I like it, but it's also funny to me when I see like a sign on this highway that's like closed on all the, you know, like all the rest stop
closed
signs.
On Sundays.
Closed on Sundays. Yeah. And also for political reasons. But,
I hate Chick-fil-A for political reasons, and I love it because it's the only fast food restaurant I really go to.
No Taco Bell for you?
Ooh, I do like Taco Bell, but I haven't been there in a while.
Happily, I feel like if you want to meet at a Taco Bell, I'll happily go.
Fast food, generally, plus 28 years old, I don't really go. Minus Chick-fil-A. I do still go to Chick-fil-A a lot. But outside of that, I just never get fast food. In my 20s, especially post 2 a.m.,
oh yeah,
I got fast food a ton, and Taco Bell was one of my Taco Bell and Popeyes were like my faves.
I think fast food was a much bigger part of my life when I was living in LA, and I would just like,
That's what it is.
I'd like be at my wit's end. I'd just be like, "There's a Del Taco on my corner. I'm just gonna hit it on the way home from work. It's 9:00 or like after
Jack in the Box for
two tacos for 99 cents. Hell yeah,
so good,
so good. Also
so good.
I mean, I've definitely asked the Uber to take me to Jack in the Box and Taco Bell. So it's just
I think it's a big part of LA life. Yeah, it is. And like, you have to drive so far in LA. So like, especially at like 3:00 in the morning, you're like, we either stop and get Taco Bell or I throw up in the back of your Uber. So you decide what you want. What do you want your destiny to be?
It's on you, driver. I also used to go, when I lived in San Francisco, I had a friend with a car and he'd pick me up and we would go to like a faraway Jack in the Box in San Francisco to get shakes at like midnight or like 11. It was so good.
Yeah. Great times.
Just love a fast food shake and soft serve is the point here.
So good.
Also, I would absolutely love an ice cream truck date first date. So
that's 100%. I did like that.
Yeah,
I did
like that. That would be so awesome.
I will say that in general, there's so many dates on like the Bachelor franchise shows that I'm like, ugh, would not want that. A simple ice cream date probably ranks in the top 10.
Absolutely. A nice walk and ice cream's great. Just love it. It's a great first date. No pressure. It's good.
Good talking.
Get a drink. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
Michelle was the star of this episode. The guys are cool. Hopefully someone will materialize that I can really like get passionate about, but I don't know.
I'm not fully on the Nate wagon, but after night one, I was like, really fucking like Nate.
I like Nate and I like Leroy Holiday. Mostly because
Leroy Holiday was for sure. I think I liked him more because of how much he looked like.
Me
like
too.
Every time he was on the screen, I was like, there he is. I think I bought a ticket on the Nate bus.
Okay.
But I didn't buy a one way, you know, okay. I bought a round trip. So I'm not fully bought in, but we'll see what happens.
I'm not ready to commit to one guy yet. I'll let you know next week. But I'm excited. I just like The Bachelorette more than The Bachelor anyway, so that's cool.
I don't know. But I am happy about this.
Michelle, we love you. I just feel like everyone's in love, Michelle. She's what's wrong with her? I mean, she's like, it's even more shocking that Matt didn't choose her. She seems fun. She's cool. She's teacher. She's like substantive. I don't know.
I honestly completely forgot about Matt.
I basically forgotten about Matt as well. However, he is like, on ABC every Monday.
No. I mean, like, forgot about them. Like, I don't think of her and think of him. You know, with a lot of the old contestants, like, you think about when they lost, what their past season. Like, I didn't think about her with Matt almost at all. I don't
think
at all.
She got so little screen time. Like, so little. And maybe that what she got why. Was great. But, like, we didn't really get to know her. So, it's also one of the reasons why she was the real star of this episode. Is because we're, like, finally getting the real Michelle. I hope they show her being fun and they don't like force her to play basketball every day, because I'm sure there's more to her than that. But if she wants to, that's cool too.
Yeah. We don't need to see her play basketball actually again. We've gotten enough content.
Seriously. I wonder if she's a T-Wolves fan. Like, what's her team? Eesh. I don't know. I could see her like rallying around Karl Anthony Towns. I don't even know who else on the team right now. I'm going to look up their roster.
D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, right. D'Lo. Cool. Deloading? I forget. I never really understood that.
Yeah, deloading. Malik Beasley.
Right. Oh, Anthony Edwards. Patrick Beverley.
Oh my gosh. Anthony Edwards, by the way, star. He is hilarious. You would love him if you look at his, watch his interviews.
Okay. I will. Great.
Also, wait, what's the guy from Duke? He has a brother.
Guy from Duke who has Ty Jones.
Tyus Jones.
Yeah. I don't think he's on the team anymore.
I think maybe his brother's on the team.
Oh.
No?
Okay. Cool.
Maybe he got traded. I don't know.
Well, shout out to everyone who's made it to the hour mark of our podcast for us to just name people who may or may not be on the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves roster.
Hey, it's opening tip-off this week, so we're excited. It's all happening this week. We got the NBA, and more importantly, we got Michelle. Callie, thank you so much for joining me. Kaya, thank you so much for producing. That would be Kaya McMullen. Find her on social if you'd like. I don't know if you want that, Kaya, but now it might happen. And I'll be back on Thursday. We'll be back next week. Happy Michelle season, everybody.
Yay.